Welcome everyone to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 11. I am one co-host, Jimmy Traina, here with you for another week, joined as always by Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramling. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Coming off a 3-2 week, which has a big asterisk to it, thanks to the Lions and Matt Stafford basically deciding he wasn't going to play after we taped last week's podcast.
Jimmy, I like a lot of people, you know, it's a gambling podcast, so people say that their mood depends on how their picks went this week. I feel like you are a good example of someone, literally your mood the entire week, not just when we're on the podcast, is totally dependent on how your picks went the week before. That's one thing I like about you.
The Lions really, I don't like that 3-2, because there is such a huge difference, 3-2, 4-1. Gary, you had the Lions too last week, right?
No, I was the other one.
That was you?
That burned
you?
Me too, yeah. Same thing.
Gary, how did you do last week on your best bets?
2-1.
And what were you, Mitch?
I was 2-2.
All right, so none of us had a losing record.
We
got to, you know.
You'd think that a quarterback, if he has broken bones in his back, we would know that on Thursday of that week, but right. I guess we didn't, so we lost a couple on there.
Yeah, the Lions would not have been a best bet if I knew Jeff Driscoll was a quarterback. I can honestly tell you that. So we'll pray that all the quarterbacks who we think are playing will play on Sunday as we go through all of the games in Week 11 and give you our best bets at the end. So let's get it going. We're going to start it with what might be the best game of the week. Two amazing quarterbacks will go head-to-head. The Texans visit the Ravens. Baltimore, 4-point favorites. Total here is 51. Good game here at 1 o'clock, Gary.
Yeah, this is a really good game. I can't believe it's in that 1 o'clock window. It seems like a crime against the state here. I kind of like the Texans here. I like the fact that, and I'm not crazy about the Texans' defense. I do like the fact that they had the extra week to prepare. They were mixing in a bunch of new guys in the secondary. They're probably a little healthier there. They probably got a little better chemistry in theory to work on this going forward. But I thought this line would be right around -3, since it's a little bit higher. I'll lean Texans here.
Well, the nation has Lamar Jackson fever, so I think that's why you get a little bump there from 3-4, Mitch.
Yeah, I was going to say that because, Jimmy, we talked about this offline earlier in the week. Everyone's going nuts about Lamar Jackson, but they were playing the Bengals last week.
Right.
He deserves all the hype that he gets for the win against the Patriots the week before. But as good as he looked, we do have to calm down a little bit because, you know, against the Bengals, it's how much do you really learn in a game like that? But these are two teams that I like. I've been on Houston all year since before the season. So this is a very big game for those of us with our Houston Super Bowl champions futures tickets from August to see if they're going to get that first round bye. They could really use a win here. Similar reasons. I think I feel really the same way as Gary. Houston coming off a bye, and 4 just seems a little bit high. I think if I'm going to get 4 points, even though I know they're on the road and, you know, I know these are two good teams, I picture a close game and with the line at 4, I feel different than if it's 2.5 or 3. So this one is not going to be a best bet for me, but I'm going to lean Texans +4.
Yeah, I don't have a lean on the side here. I'm still not 100% sure how to read the Ravens. I know everyone's got Ravens fever, but like Mitch said, I throw away last week's game. I don't take anything from it. Bengals are not a real team. And obviously, the week before that, they beat the Patriots, which then there's sort of, everyone goes crazy because they beat the Patriots. I mean, this is still a team that lost to the Browns at home, which it's amazing when you think about the fact that that happened. I will say, while I don't have a feel on the side, I love the over 51 in this game. I think both quarterbacks are playing at such a high level. Texans without J.J. Watt will hurt them a little bit here. I think points are plenty here, so I do like that over 51. We go to another game where the total is over 50. The Falcons shocked the world last week, would win against the Saints. They go into Carolina, and the Panthers are 5.5-point favorites at home. The total is 50.5, Mitch.
Yeah, my other preseason darling team, Carolina, starting the show with them. I like the Panthers' chances of bouncing back. Remember, a few weeks ago, they got crushed by San Francisco. And a lot of times a game like that happens and you learn what kind of team they are. So they got killed. They gave up a 50-burger, I think. And then they came back home and they beat the Titans pretty comfortably the next week. Now they're in another spot where they need a win to keep the season alive. They, you know, not necessarily, they're not like dead, but this is a huge game for them. You know, we saw them lose that big game in Green Bay, and now they come home and they have a team that, you know, has two wins on the season and who they're really better than. So I do like Carolina's chances of a bounce back game. This surprised me. I was looking at Atlanta's schedule, and it looks like this is their first game outside all year because their road games have been against Minnesota, Indy, Houston, Arizona, and New Orleans. So I think that's a little bit interesting. We're not necessarily going to have bad weather in Carolina, but just knowing that they're going to be outside for the first time all year. Carolina just played in the elements last week. Meanwhile, the Falcons, they had a big win against the Saints, but now they're missing Austin Hooper. I think they're probably going to be missing Devontae Freeman, even if that's not official quite yet. But I know all the fantasy people are going nuts about Brian Hill, so it seems like it's pointing in that direction. So, you know, this spread is a little bit high, but I'm going to go with Carolina here at 5.5.
Gary?
Yeah, I saw the spread and I immediately liked Atlanta, and then I sort of looked a little bit closer. I keep on thinking of Carolina as a team that's, you know, a game managing quarterback. They're staying close and winning games late. All five of their wins have been 6 points or more this season, which made me back off the Falcons a little bit. I won't do a best bet with Atlanta here, even though I'll lean towards them. I do think they clearly got right a little bit over the bye week, but I like the over here. I think that number might have been ever so slightly suppressed by the fact that you know, Carolina only put up, what did they finish with, 16 points last week. They came up with zeros in the red zone twice, one interception, and then one, obviously, the last play that McCaffrey couldn't quite get in. So
they drove like 90-plus yards on that drive.
Yeah, I think I like the over 50.5 here in this one.
I think it's a dangerous spot. I think it's really tough to read the Falcons right now. A lot was written about how Arthur Blank was going to use that Saints game as sort of the measuring stick on Dan Quinn as head coach, and then they shocked the world by beating the Saints. Their defense is what won that game. So I don't know how to read the Falcons. Obviously, Matt Ryan over Matt Schaub is a big improvement with Schaub playing there the week before. So, you know, 5.5 is a high line. For me, this is a stay away game. I think Carolina wins it. I just, the 5.5 makes me a little bit nervous. The next game, we're not going to spend a ton of time on because as we're taping this, we don't know the Lions quarterback situation. I think it's going to be Jeff Driscoll, but we don't have definite word on that. If it's Jeff Driscoll, which we expect, the Cowboys are giving 4 in Detroit to the Lions. If Jeff Driscoll is playing, I'll lay 4 points with the Cowboys any day of the week. Gary?
Yeah, I'll point this out, the other side of the ball. This Lions defense, this is suddenly very much a get-right defense for opposing quarterbacks. They got torched by Kirk Cousins. They got torched by Daniel Jones, even though they won the game. They got torched by Derek Carr, and they made Mitchell Trubisky look like almost a serviceable starting quarterback in the NFL last week, which was probably the most troubling of all the results here. So you kind of get the sense that the Cowboys might just go in there and score 35 points, and even if Stafford's playing, this ends up being like a 35-28 type of win for the Cowboys.
You know what else is scary? It's possible that Jeff Driscoll has fractures in his back and the Lions just aren't telling us. You know, who knows? Every guy on the team could have secret injuries. I think we need to investigate and a full and thorough independent investigation. No, I mean, I'm with you for all the same reasons. The Cowboys are a better team. I've been betting against the Lions all season, which is part of what makes last week so frustrating. But yeah, and again, not knowing who's going to play, it's tough to spend too much time. But the Cowboys had a winnable game against Minnesota, and I think they are they must be really unhappy about losing that one, and you figure they're out to prove to the world that that they're going to let Dak throw and have confidence in him and that Zeke can get 2 yards when he needs it, since you know, that whole discussion topic about, I can't believe the Cowboys ran it with Zeke. Well, I mean, if Zeke picks up 2 or 3 yards in that spot, nobody's having that conversation no matter how good Dak looked. So I think this could be one of those where the Cowboys just come in and blow the doors off him.
Next game at 1:00, the Colts coming off that home loss to the Dolphins. They are laying a field goal to the incoming Jaguars. Gardner Minshew out, Nick Foles in, total 44. Mitch, what do you like?
Yeah, so both teams have their quarterbacks back because Nick Foles we haven't seen since week one. Jacoby Brissett, remember, was out. They had Brian Hoyer in that really gross loss to the Dolphins. So, yeah, I mean, we're analyzing the Jags. Now we have to decide what we think of Gardner Minshew. And they're a team. It feels like the Jaguars have won most of the games they were supposed to win and lost the games that they've been supposed to lose pretty consistently all year. They haven't had those big outlier games. So now you just wonder, you know, is this a game? Can they finally go on the road against a team that I think most people think is a little better than they are and go win a game like that? I like the Jaguars. I have liked them. I'm excited that we finally get to see Nick Foles on the field. Minshew, everyone went nuts over him the first couple of weeks of the season and seemed like he was overachieving a bit. But this is a team that they were playoff contenders coming into the year with Nick Foles under center. And I know things have changed and they've traded Jalen Ramsey and a lot happens in half a year. But I still like them. And, you know, I'm excited to see what they do the second half of the season with Foles. Another thing, with the line being +3... we get to talk about Adam Vinatieri, because even if the Colts win this game, the fact that it's 3 leaves open the possibility that if there's a missed extra point or a missed kick, the Colts could still win this game by 1 or 2 points. And because of a missed kick, the Jaguars still cover the spread. So that's definitely worth factoring in, because it seems like Vinatieri misses at least a kick every week. Meanwhile, the Colts are still banged up. T.Y. Hilton is day-to-day. I don't know if he's going to play or not. But even if he comes back, you figure a calf injury can be tough for a guy like that who relies on his speed a lot. Paris Campbell's out, so like it wasn't just Brian Hoyer, but it was Brian Hoyer with not many people to throw the ball to. Just their famous two tight end sets that the Colts have. So I like the Jaguars. I think they can win the game outright, and if they're going to be +3, I'm happy to take the points.
Yeah, Vinatieri missed another extra point last week in that loss to the Dolphins. Gary.
Yeah, it was mostly Brian Hoyer last week. Yeah. It didn't really matter. He had a fine career. He is not suitable for NFL play anymore. I do think the Colts are just significantly is probably overstating it, but even with Foles back, I think the Colts are just clearly the better team here. -3. That means you're saying these teams are essentially even on a neutral field, and I just don't think that's true. I think the Colts should be given more like 5 or 6 points in this game. I do like Indianapolis here. I probably won't best bet it. Because I'm just not sure about Brissett's health with the knee, even though I do fully expect him to play.
Yeah, he's going to start. I like the Jaguars here, but it won't be a best bet for me. I hate going against the Colts after the loss to the Dolphins, because it's like you jump off the bandwagon and you overreact to 1 week. Mm-hmm. But this is more, I like the Jaguars here, more pro-Jacksonville, because I think coming off a bye and putting Foles in there is going to be a big boost to them. I like that. I think the Jaguar defense with Brissett banged up could really limit the Colts offense this week. So I actually like the Jaguars, but it makes me nervous betting a team after they lose to the Dolphins like that, because it's a clear case of a 1 week overreaction. So I like Jacksonville, but I will not best bet it.
I'll just say one note to you, Gary. Mm-hmm. We've talked on this podcast before that home field advantage has not been as big of an advantage this year. And so them being plus, I know traditionally you see them at 3 points favorites means they'd be even on a neutral field. Might not necessarily be the case this year. I don't know.
They get rocking in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Not sure about that. speaking of the Dolphins and teams not rocking, even though they've won 2 in a row, they're at home against the Bills. The Bills come into Miami as 6-point favorites. The total here is 40.5, and I'll just say this. I love the Dolphins. I'm on the bandwagon. This is such an – if you've watched Josh Allen play, him giving 6 points on the road should be an investigation, even with a team as bad as the Dolphins. He is – horrifically bad.
We've now called for 2 investigations on this podcast.
What was the first one?
They're into the Lions injury report. We're now 5.
I didn't
two
call
investigations
for an investigation.
No, no, no. I did. So yeah. We're either 2 investigations in 5 games.
Yeah.
I'll call for an investigation later at some point.
Yeah.
I'm not as down on Josh Allen as you are, Jimmy. I do think the Dolphins ran into two quarterbacks who – in that given week were completely unable to play.
Yeah, that's Josh Allen too. So here comes week three of that.
I'll
you set it up.
I don't want to be like super Josh Allen defender. I just think he's good enough, and I'm waiting for him to sort of deliver that last year you saw the occasional Mahomesian sort of run around in the backfield and then throw a 60-yard pass type of thing, but we haven't seen it this year.
I watched every play of the Bills-Browns game last week because I had the under in a parlay. And he missed so many wide open receivers. It was amazing to watch. He is brutal.
It's what he is, though. He's a power thrower. He's young Cam at this point. I think he's capable of putting up numbers here. But mostly, I think the Dolphins are coming off back-to-back fluke wins here. They're shorthanded with the receivers. I don't know. I just think the Bills go down there and win this one pretty comfortably. This feels like a 24-10 type of victory here for Buffalo. And I will say, I went up to I was in the Buffalo area earlier this week and for a work related thing. Nothing to do with the Bills, but
reporting the story
out there on the ground, reporting for a non Bills story in Buffalo. But I had to bring back the souvenirs for my kids, and I did get. They have this little like squishable Josh Allen thing that I brought back for my son, and he was super psyched because it smells great.
Poor
he
kid.
Said,
"What are you doing?" It
smells
to the kid?
Great.
Don't make him a Josh Allen fan. He's gonna get bullied at school.
They're all Giants fans at his school,
having known Gary for a while, he will just buy his kids souvenirs with whoever the Bills quarterback is at the time.
Pretty
much. You have a closet full of Nathan Peterman t-shirts.
Yeah. So much Trent Edwards swag at my house.
J.P. Lossman trading cards. You give them out at Halloween. I have so many follow-up things. If we made a Josh Allen spectrum that went from Jimmy to Gary, I think I side a little closer to Gary. But I don't think that I saw anything Mahomesian. I think that was a bit of an overstatement.
Yeah. No, Mahomesian moments. The difference between Mahomes is he also delivers all those routine plays, whereas Josh Allen will on half of those just spray the thing, 8 yards behind a receiver.
So looking at first off, I will say I have the Bills have hurt me 2 weeks in a row. Last week was I was way too confident in that Bills-Browns game, and that was another one where I got bit because we recorded when we did. If we had recorded earlier in the week and the line was 2.5, or the line was 3, it could have been a push. Instead, it was 2.5. It was a loss for me. My record, I had a much better week. Give me a little credit. We're going to put some asterisks on my record. And then the week before that, I thought that Washington would cover against the Bills, and then they ended up beating them 24-9. So I don't know anything. Last week, it surprised me that the Bills weren't respected more, and this week I think they're getting too much respect. Again, they're playing a Dolphins team that we know has been competitive. Remember, these two teams have played already this season, and that was when the Bills were playing better and the Dolphins were playing worse, and that was a 31-21 win. But remember, the final score looks goofy because the Bills had that awesome onside kick that they then returned for a touchdown. So that was a closer score the game was closer than the score looks. And so, like I said, I think the Bills are playing worse. The Dolphins are playing better. I'm gonna take the Dolphins +6. I'm with Jimmy here that I do like this, and not necessarily picking them outright to win for the third time in a row, but given that I know nothing about the Bills and how they're gonna perform week to week, I saw this line right away and it jumped out to me that I like Miami +6.
Keep it rolling. The next game, we have the Vikings at home giving 10.5 points after their Sunday night win in Dallas to the Broncos. Incoming Broncos struggling mightily this season. Total here, 39.5. Mitch, do you lay the 10 and a hook with the Vikings at home?
Whew. I think this is a tough one. I like Minnesota. I think they are better than people think. I like they sort of have that like classic recipe for the playoffs where they can play defense and run the ball. I don't know if that matters anymore or if that's an outdated concept for what's going to win in the playoffs. But I do like their team. Now this morning I was putting the work in. I was grinding some tape on Broncos starter Brandon Allen. YouTube had a video that had every every snap from every passing play from Brandon Allen's first game. So I watched that 5 minutes long. I got to tell you, it was a boring video. It's just, you know, when someone sends you a video and they're like, oh, you got to watch this. And halfway through, you're like clicking the scroll. You're like, how much longer is this? It was, you know, nothing against Brandon Allen. I saw some people saying they thought he played pretty well, which was why I wanted to watch this game.
Sorry, Mitch, I want to stop you real quick. Did someone send you that video and was like, you got to watch this?
You know, this is what we do, grinding tape and doing the research. And then you're in a Brandon Allen YouTube rabbit hole. It was just not exciting. There were like two exciting plays in the second half when he was like play action and then threw the ball deep. But most plays, it was like get rid of the ball really quickly or else try to run away from trouble, or sometimes he ran into trouble, which was a little concerning. This feels like it's a lot, 10.5, but I think this is the kind of game where Minnesota can be up by a score and then have their second half drive where they just run the ball 10 times in a row with Dalvin Cook and grind out one more touchdown and win the game by 12, 13, 14 points. So it feels like a lot, but I'm actually going to go for it, and I will lean Vikings minus 10.5. This is one I'm flirting with making it a best bet. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to see how confident I feel at the end of the show. But I do like the Vikings.
As someone who basically spends every minute of every day on the internet thanks to his job, I'm shocked to find out there's even a Brandon Allen YouTube wormhole to go down, but apparently there is. Gary, what do you like?
I'm kind of leaning Denver here. You look back to last year, Rich Scangarello, who's the offensive coordinator in Denver, he was in San Francisco last year when they sort of put something together with Nick Mullins. I don't think Brandon Allen is this year's Nick Mullins, but I think he gives him a certain baseline of competence in that offense that isn't too far off what they had from Joe Flacco there. But mostly, I like the other side of the ball. I do think the Broncos' pass rush is still cooking here. The Vikings, even though they're better on the offensive line this year, are still not good. Probably no Adam Thielen at the time of taping. It sounds like he is going to be out again. And Sunday night, Dalvin Cook, you know, made a couple of plays, but mostly that Vikings offense just sort of seemed really like scotch taped together. I don't know if they can get sustainable offense here, if you could call last week sustainable, but I don't think they do it for a second straight week. Not to mention Vic Fangio. I mean, he was with the Bears last year. Bears have different talent, but I don't think there's a huge gap between the Bears' talent and the Broncos' talent defensively. I mean, he ruined Kirk Cousins twice.
I like the Vikings. I don't see how the Broncos get to 10 or 13 points here with that offense, that quarterback, rookie quarterback on the road in a very hostile building, as they like to say in sports. I could see the Denver defense maybe playing well, but I just, you know, I see some pick six possibly, some turnovers for Brandon Allen here. And I don't see how the Broncos get to 10 or 13, which should give Minnesota a cover. Next game is an interesting one. The Saints, coming off that loss to the Falcons, go into Tampa Bay, one of the weirder teams, I think, of the season. Maybe my colleagues disagree. We'll get into it. The Saints are 5.5-point favorites on the road in Tampa. The total is 50.5. Gary.
I know. I ended up, this is my online, my written best bet of the week here. I really like Tampa getting the points here. For a couple of reasons. One, the Bucs always play the Saints well at home. They have covered four of the last six times in Tampa when the Saints have come in. But I'm pretty worried about the Saints. I think they're going to be without Marshawn Lattimore. They had major pass protection issues against the Falcons of all teams. Yeah. The Falcons, I mean, the Bucs don't have world beaters, but the Falcons have been really bad in the pass rush for the most part this year. Will Clapp is going to be filling in for Andres Pete there on the offensive line. And that is a glaring weakness. And if you are Drew Brees, you know, they always, the way they built that team was always interior offensive line to clear those throwing lanes for Brees because he's a shorter quarterback. This is a bad combination for him. You can't block on the interior. I think they might get swallowed up a little bit, not to mention if there's no Marshawn Lattimore, Lattimore usually takes Mike Evans out of these games. I mean, Lattimore has destroyed Mike Evans and just eaten his soul in most of these matchups. Now you got to deal with, we're going to slide Eli Apple and safety help to Mike Evans. Okay, well, now you got Chris Godwin. Who's going to cover him? You know, they saw P.J. Williams. I don't even know their defensive back depth chart at this point, but I think it's just a bad matchup for the Saints right now.
A lot of points at home you're getting there, 5.5, yeah. Mitch.
Yeah, so I've got a very, very random stat here. Saw a tweet this morning from Michael Lopez at Stats by Lopez on Twitter.
Yeah, we love Stats by Lopez.
Got the excitement scores for each team. I have no idea how this is calculated, but he lists – it's a nice colorful graph caught my eye. He lists all 32 teams in order of how exciting their games have been this year. Do you want to guess who the most and least exciting teams are?
I'm going to guess Tampa's most exciting.
Tampa, most exciting. You got to figure a 5.5-point spread. Are they going to keep it close? I don't know. The Patriots are the least exciting, by the
way. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
It makes sense thinking about it that that Tampa has had the most exciting season because just picture the image of Bruce Arians on the sideline this year, and it's just him red-faced and flustered and yelling at somebody, and it feels like, you know, every minute has mattered. He claims that last week he challenged a call when he knew he couldn't just to make a point to the refs, which sounds like a great thing to say after the fact. And I don't know, Bruce Arians personally, I don't want to question his. It sounds like a great thing to say after the fact. Let's just leave it at that. And then he cut Vernon Hargreaves to make another message. It feels like, I don't know, if the over-under is 32 games Bruce Arians coaches in Tampa, I don't think you take the over on that one, just looking at how that experiment is going. Tampa has 6 losses this year, but only one of them is by more than 7 points. They've been in every game. Of course, this spread isn't 7. It's 5.5. The Saints, and you're right, Gary, I also have concerns about that offensive line after last week, and now Pete is going to be out for like a whole month. But I think the Saints are the better team, and I think they can bounce back. This is definitely a stay away from me, and that's why I'm stalling and talking about excitement and things. This is a stay away, but I lean the Saints 5.5. I just think they're a better team, and Tampa, you just never know when Jameis is going to have a game with 3, 4, 5 turnovers, and I'm just going to – I just trust New Orleans a lot more.
I love the over in this game. I don't see the Saints getting shut out back – not shut out literally, but their offense being shut down back-to-back weeks. I didn't – again, I watched all of the New Orleans-Atlanta game with that Browns Bills under because of a parlay last week. I hated the way the Saints used their running attack last week. They got down and they got away from it way too soon. Kamara only had 4 carries. Latavius Murray, who ran the ball so well while Alvin was out, 5 carries, 12 yards. Kamara, 4 carries. They got away from it, and then the game got away from them. I don't see that offense, especially with Michael Thomas playing. So I don't see that offense having another week like that. And I think Gary hit on something huge. The Lattimore injury is going to be a problem for the Saints. So I see points all over the place in this game. So I love that over 50.5. Last 1 o'clock game of the day, it's a pig. And if you watch it, you should get some help. The Jets are in Washington. I mean, two of the most unwatchable teams in the league. The Redskins are 1.5 favorite over the Jets. The total, is that right? The Redskins? Let me double check.
That's right. That's what I have down.
Yeah, the Redskins are 1.5 favorite over the Jets. Total, lowest total of the week on the board, 38. We go to Mitch.
Yeah, this is exciting. The Jets are coming off a big win. Adam Gase has some job security. You got to feel good if you're the Jets right now. Good vibes all around. Gary, you've been talking about it all season. I know you're about to tell us they're going to run the table on this easy schedule, go 9-7, finish above 500. Right, Gary? I know that's what you're about to come out with. Now, this is, like you said, Jimmy, don't watch this game. I'm going to pick the Jets. You know, the Redskins haven't scored a touchdown in 3 games, and they named Dwayne Haskins the starter for the season. I don't love the Jets, but I can't pick the Redskins, let alone as favorites.
It's amazing to me the Redskins are favorite with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback.
Yeah.
But
so it is, again, we don't have, you know, most of what I said is in jest there, but I'm going to go with the Jets here and be done talking about this.
Gary.
Yeah, I'll lean Jets. I mean, one side has a quarterback who, while it's been less, you know, the minority of the time this year, has looked serviceable, and the other team has Dwayne Haskins, who has not looked serviceable at any point. So I'll lean Jets, although I've been wrong on every Jets game this year. So I don't know. Hopefully by the time they're in the Super Bowl this year, I will have a bead on the Jets.
The Redskins have no business being 1.5 favorites in this game, which makes me think Redskins, but this is a stay away from me. I mean, this is a disgusting game on every level. 4 o'clock games. We go to San Francisco, coming off that loss Monday night to the Seahawks. First loss of the season for the Niners. Big favorites at home, -11 against the incoming Cardinals. The total here is a 46 points Gary Gramling.
I know this one's fascinating. I coming off a 70-minute game on a Monday night, I think has such a huge impact. But we've already seen the line. This opened at minus 14 before the Monday night game, and now it's dropped down to minus 11. It dropped almost immediately after that Monday night game was over. Obviously, all sorts of injury problems for the 49ers. I would still lean San Francisco here. I think 11 is a reasonable number. I'm not big on the Cardinals. Cardinals haven't been terribly resourceful as far as what they do offensively. I think we all sort of were anticipating some sort of forward-thinking, amazing thing. And look, their offense is fine. It's just not... It's not very expansive or surprising in any way. It's just kind of is. It is what it is. I also think when these teams met back on Halloween night, the Thursday night game, the Cardinals closed in late because of that 89-yard touchdown to Andy Isabella. I do think the 49ers pretty thoroughly outplayed them in that game, and I don't know. I think this ends up being like a two-possession win, and I'll give the 11 points here.
Mitch.
Well, this is interesting. I go with the Cardinals here, even though, Gary, you said a lot of the same things that I was going to say, and I don't know if it's just us interpreting them differently or if we just had the same set of talking points or if you were looking over my shoulder, my computer maybe. This line just it feels like it's a little too high. I don't want to overreact to one loss, and you know that's a close enough game, comes down to a couple of field goals in overtime, so I like to think I would I'm rational enough that I'd think the same about the Niners, whether they won that game or lost that game or intentionally took the tie in overtime, which they could have done. But you know, it strikes me as too much. You know, I know that the Niners have beaten plenty of teams by this point total or a lot more than that. I mean, we already talked about the Carolina game, which stands out to me as, you know, just one of their best games. But like you said, you know, these two teams just played a couple weeks ago, and I know they were outplayed, but they did come back a little bit. We're still waiting on some health news. George Kittle, I think, probably isn't going to play.
Probably out.
And that
probably
changes out their offense a lot. Emmanuel Sanders also might not play, or if he plays, you know, even these guys might be limited or come back and not be 100%. The Cardinals have actually, they're 7-3 against the spread this year. They've had some close games, and I just think, Jimmy, I don't know if you said 11 or 11.5.
11.
I had written down 11.5 when I looked at the app we usually use. I mean, either way, that half a point's not going to make or break for me. I'm going to pick the Cardinals here.
I like the Cardinals, too. I think Mitch hit it right. George Kittle is going to be out. That's a big, big loss. He's their big, big part of their offense. I just think it's a lot of points. The Cardinals play these weird close games. I think, you know, coming off a short week with the Monday nighter, I think San Francisco wins, but I think the number is high, and I like Arizona. They're getting those points. They move the ball. David Johnson, though, I mean, you want to talk about rough. That is not good, the way he looks right now. They've got to do something else.
That was,
backfield.
By the way, David Johnson lost that fumble. That was their first lost fumble of the
season. I saw that stat and could not believe it. That was amazing.
Saw that in Gary's weekly preview and there then again go. In his freakout. Can I just say about George Kittle, a lot of cutaway shots of George Kittle down the stretch in that Monday Night Football game. He's a very good player. I did not quite know he was that famous that ESPN would just give us the live feed of watching George Kittle watching the game.
He's definitely a top 10 personality in the NFL. I get why they did that.
A lot of cutaway shots.
He was active up there.
Hamming up for the cameras, you think? I don't know.
He definitely caught himself in the TV at some point.
Someone, they get texts. They know when they're on TV all the time.
Next game is in Oakland. The Raiders now back-to-back home games after not being there forever. They are giving 10.5 points to the Bengals, the inept, unwatchable Bengals. The total is 48.5. The line here is 10.5, so be careful with that hook, Mitch.
By the way, did we get a clarification for best bet purposes on the last game?
It's 11.
It is 11, yeah. Not 11.5.
I can't wait till that's 21-10. What do I want? You picked the Cardinals, so I want to...
Chase McLaughlin is going to be out on the field for the extra point that decides our thing, swings the whole season. All right. Bengals Raiders. Yeah, the Bengals are so bad. I mean, it's amazing. All the one-win teams won. We talked all year about the Dolphins tagging for that number one pick, and now it's the Bengals are totally in control of it. And the Raiders are they're 5-3 or 5-4 Well, either way, I thought it was a surprise to see them at 5, and now they play the Bengals and then the Jets, so they could easily be sitting at 7 wins.
5-4 for the Raiders.
5-4, so they could easily be at 7-4, and they are right in the middle of that AFC playoff picture, especially if the Bills lose a couple more games. I think they've been a surprise. That game on Thursday night when they hosted the Chargers was a lot of fun, and I loved the crowd at the Black Hole. You get another home game there. I know it's different when it's a primetime game versus Sunday afternoon, but still, it's their last season in Oakland, and those fans are totally into their fun team, and it's just like fun watching them play in that environment. I saw a Twitter thread today from Chase Stewart, Football Perspective, and he had this. He was talking about this random game from the 70s, and I won't get into the whole thing, but his point was that last week was a historic anomaly for the Bengals to be trailing by as much as they were and yet still run the ball as much as they did, to be down that many points and then still feeding Joe Mixon and running the ball 30 times with him, plus their other – I think they had 40 rushing attempts total. It's just interesting that they decided to bench Dalton so they could get a look at Ryan Finley, and then they still ran the ball so much. And, you know, when you're down by that many touchdowns, and it's like you're not really getting that much of a look at the guy if you're going to give Joe Mixon 30 carries. I just think the Bengals are so bad. The Raiders playing at home. You know, I oftentimes look for excuses to bet road teams. I love picking road teams, but here I'm going to take a double-digit favorite at home and go with the Raiders here.
Gary?
Yeah, it's funny. The Bengals are kind of treating the rest of the season, it seems like, or at least last week it seemed like. It was almost like a live practice, one of those like joint practices you see in August, and they're just sort of working on some things. It doesn't matter what the final score is for them, I guess. I really like the under in this game. I don't think Oakland delivers a lot of explosive plays. They're bottom third of the league in big passing plays this year. I think they're more of a sustained offense, so you're going to see some long drives. I don't think the Bengals put up a lot of points either, so I do like the under. I don't know. The Bengals showed up a couple times earlier this year. My heart kind of says
week one they almost won in Seattle.
I know my
that
heart
was a long time ago though. Yep.
My heart kind of says take the Bengals here and trust that Zach Taylor can't treat the rest of the season as just a complete tank. He's got to keep that locker room as a young coach. But I'll give a slight Bengals lean, but I'm not proud of it.
Yeah. I want to pick the Raiders, but I cannot lay 10.5 points with the Raiders. I don't care what the circumstances are. It's that half, especially. I mean, listen, they should blow out the Bengals. Like Mitch says, the Raiders are set up to be 7-4, and you know if the Chiefs ever lose in San Diego, in L.A., wherever on Monday, I mean, they have the Jets next week. But it's just that line is just way too big. I think the under, I like that as well though, because I don't see the Bengals putting up many points at all with their offensive situation. Big, big, big game at 4:25. Mitch probably gonna have to basically cut him off at some point. He's probably gonna go long on this one.
I'm pumped to watch Bengals Raiders. I'm gonna ignore all the other.
The Patriots coming off a bye week after getting blown out in Baltimore. 3.5-point favorites on the road in Philly. Total for 44.5. Bill Belichick, 14-5 straight up after bye weeks as head coach of the New England Patriots. Gary, what do you got?
Yeah, I was going to cite that stat. It's Patriots off a bye, and I actually had including the postseason, 8-2 since 2014 for the Patriots coming off a bye week. I don't know. My heart says the Eagles. I just don't think the Patriots are capable of putting up a ton of points here. I don't know. I think this is an ugly game, though. I don't think you're going to see a lot of points. I think 3.5 is just big enough that the Eagles at home, I'll stick with them here.
Mitch?
Yeah, so the Patriots coming off a bye week actually does not scare me as much as the Patriots coming off a loss the week before the bye. I feel like if they were a perfect 9-0 or if it was earlier in the season or whatever, this could be a potential trap game. But knowing that they – people were talking about them possibly going undefeated, and then they lost. And now to see them refocus and get back on the winning side, that scares me a little bit more. I'm sure we can look up their numbers are great in literally every scenario. So I'm sure that their numbers coming off of a loss are just as impressive as their numbers coming off of a bye week. This is a tough one. I agree. It could be a sloppy, ugly, low-scoring game. I think it's going to come down to turnovers. So I was tempted to pick the under. But this is one where, you know, the line is 3.5, and I know everyone's going to call me a homer and everything. If it was 2.5, it would be a very different story. But I think with the line being 3.5, gives me an excuse to say, you know, I feel okay picking the Eagles again at home. Even if it's just a field goal game one way or the other, they could lose by 3 and still cover. So 3.5, I feel comfortable taking Philly. This is definitely a stay away from me, but I lean towards the Eagles at that number.
The half could be a big factor here because Gostkowski has not been good. Oh, he's actually out. Not there, right? It's Mike Nugent now, right? That's right.
It's not Nugent either. Who do they have now? They got rid of Nugent, right?
Oh, you Google that while I talk about the game. I know Nugent was in for Gostkowski, who I was surprised that Bill kept going with him because he was really missing a lot of kicks there. The half point is concerning though with the Patriot kicking game. But listen, Bill Belichick. Forget off a bye week, which we gave you the numbers, 8-2, 14-5. But after getting his ass kicked on Sunday night, there's no way I can take the Eagles in this game. I like the Patriots. I hate that half point, but I like the Patriots. Do we know who their kicker is?
Nick Folk. And to answer Mitch's question, Patriots since 2010, 21-10 against the spread after a loss.
Hmm. Yeah, so. We got a Folk and a Fickle in the AFC East. All right, Sunday night. I guess the flexes haven't started yet because you would have thought they would have maybe flexed in Houston-Baltimore for this game. But it is the Rams, but they are not the Rams anymore, and the Bears are rough to watch. The Rams at home giving 6.5 points to the Bears. Total here, 41.5, Mitch.
Yeah, this is a game. I mean, it looked better before the season. Right. People were down on the Bears. These are two teams that won their division last year. This is my – every week there's one game that is just gross and I'm just totally off, and that is me here, and it's a shame that I was about to say the same thing. It's a shame that it's Sunday Night Football. I think both teams are going to have trouble scoring points here, which is not necessarily something we would have said about the Rams going into the season, but it just hasn't been the same offense. And now I think how many of their offensive linemen did they either put on IR or have to plug in backups for this week? It feels like their whole line is a mess, and Brandon Cooks is out, and Jared Goff isn't as good as he was last year. And, you know, the Bears' defense has been good, and their pass rush has to worry you. So maybe under 41.5, but that's such a low number. This is just it's a stay away from me. I don't even want to give you a lean. I'm totally off this game.
I would be shocked if you could find a Rams game over the past two seasons where the total was just 41.5. But that's how much their offense is. You know, the Todd Gurley thing is a complete mystery.
I don't think it's a mystery.
He's hurt, right? Yeah. The bloom is off the Sean McVay rose a little bit. They're laying a big number here at 6.5, but that's because the Bear offense is so inept, Gary.
I know. I don't know. I'm putting a little bit of trust in Sean McVay here. The Bears have not been quite the same in that pass rush with Akeem Hicks out. They're still very good. The main thing, the Rams just can't block anyone, and that's how many offenses do you look around the league and say that the Bengals are the same way? When you can't block people, it doesn't matter how good your game plan
is. It's a problem, too, if you're going to face Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I mean, it's like your quarterback is immediately swallowed up.
Yeah.
I kind of think McVay at some point will come up with something here. I could be completely wrong. And look, this was the Rams, the blueprint for beating the Rams that cover four last year came from the Lions, and they won that game in Detroit, and then they went out to Chicago on Sunday night the next week, and that's the game they lost, and that's when sort of some of the red flags came up, even though they did go to the Super Bowl, so it wasn't too bad. But I don't know. Ultimately, Trubisky and the Bears, what are they going to put up on the road here against the Rams?
I mean, they had to do everything they could to beat Jeff Driscoll at home last week. I mean, the first half they were... I have so little confidence in the Rams defense that I can't even pick them in this game because I could see Trubisky, you know, not turning things around, but not being as bad as he's always been.
Yeah.
Because the Rams defense, just in a big spot, they just never get it done.
They've been good, though. They've been really good this year.
Mason Rudolph last week, I mean.
It was the turnover. It was you know, Steelers defense was creating all that offense. They really only gave up one drive in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. It's really difficult to picture either of these offense functioning at a high level. I guess it's just
do we
in
like
my heart.
The under?
It's in my heart. I like the Rams here.
I mean, the under feels like we all like it unless there's like a special teams.
Well, no, I would stay away from this. Yeah.
The under makes me nervous because the Rams create a lot of turnovers, and you're going to have Trubisky out there. Right. I mean, could you picture the Rams defense having two touchdowns in this game? Like,
I can picture the Bears defense having a couple of touchdowns. Khalil Mack against that offensive line. All right, so Monday night, the week wraps up with the Chiefs giving 3.5 points to the Chargers. The game is in L.A. The total, 52.
The game's in Mexico.
Oh, that's right. Mexico that's City. Right. It's the Mexico game. That's right. Chiefs and Chargers in Mexico. Chiefs giving 3.5, total 52.5, Gary.
I like the Chargers here. And I really like the under. I think that number's way too high. I guess just when I look at it, Chiefs are, we just talked about the offensive line problems for the Rams. Chiefs are sort of trending in that direction with all these injuries to their front five. And Mahomes obviously is a little bit limited still with the knee. He's not going to do the same second reaction stuff that we're used to seeing from him. So with Bosa and Ingram, I don't think the Chiefs can necessarily block them. You're going to have a limited Chiefs offense. You're going to be playing on that. I don't know what the field conditions are this year, but they couldn't play a game a year ago. I'm going to guess, I'm going to lean towards crappy for the official designation for the field. So I think this one ends up being kind of ugly. I think it becomes more of a toss-up type of game here on the neutral field. So I do like the Chargers getting the points, but mostly I like the under here.
Mitch?
I like the Chiefs. I think that I'm going to go down with the ship liking the Chiefs. I'm just going to support them all year here. I think you have to be encouraged by what Mahomes did last week. And if you were worried about what he'd look like coming back so soon from the dislocated knee, you know, I felt pretty good about it. His connection with Tyreek Hill, I said this a week ago, we've barely seen them on the field together at the same time this year. And then finally he comes back and Tyreek has a big game. I think we're going to see at least one big play from them. Chiefs, really, I mean, they should have won that game last week, and then they had two disastrous sequences with their kicking team. Actually, I like their kicking team with Butker, but just like a crazy loss last week. But I still think that they're the better team. Phillip Rivers down the stretch, I mean, we've talked about some of these aging quarterbacks and when they're going to be done. That was a rough drive at the end of that Raiders game, really the whole night. I mean, he threw up a few ducks, I think three interceptions and two more that were called back by penalties. That was a tough game for him. I don't know if you saw this. The Chargers spent the week in Colorado practicing to prepare for the altitude. And it sounds like their players hated it.
So stupid.
That's such
an overthink. Such a we're going to be smarter than you NFL coach bullshit thing
to do. The players were interviewed, and the players came out and said that they didn't like it, which is not a good sign for how the team's psyche going into the game.
They missed all those home fans that love them so much out in L.A.
Yeah. Well, I like the Chiefs. But I have a no betting Charger game policy on sides. I love the over here, unlike Gary. I think, listen, last year was that Chiefs-Rams game in Mexico where there were about 80,000 points scored. The Chief offense is still, they chuck it up so much that they can score points so quickly. I think Mahomes is going to get better and better each week after the injury. And I still, listen, their defense showed you that. I mean, they lost that game really because of their kicking game. But their defense showed you there in overtime when they let the Titans of all teams go Ryan Tannehill right down the field. That's still not a good defense. And the Chargers, I think you're going to get a lot of points on Monday night. So that wraps up the week recap of each game, preview of each game, I should say. Now we will fire off our best bets. Gary, why don't you get it rolling and give us the money makers?
All right, go five of them here, two sides, three totals. For the sides, I'm going Bucks plus 5.5 at home against the Saints. I am going the Bills on the road. My son with his Josh Allen squishy rooting him on there. Minus six is what we said there for that line, correct?
The Bills 6, yes.
Yeah, minus 6 for the Bills at Miami. My totals are going to be over 50.5 in Falcons-Panthers, under in the other two. That's Bengals Raiders under 48.5, and Monday Night Chiefs Chargers under 52. And I think we got a third straight head to head between me and Jimmy. This is the rubber match.
We have two head to heads this week.
Oh.
Mitch, what do you got?
All right, I'm trying to decide if I want to make five best bets or six. I don't know. I didn't think I was that confident.
Time is running out, so make a decision.
Time's running out. All right, I'll go with five of them. Gimme, and I like that you've already told me specifically during the pod that these were not best bets for you guys, but I'm going to take that Jaguars +3 at Indy. I am going to do the Jets +1.5 at the Redskins. Give me that gross game. Give me a good reason to watch it. The Cardinals +11 at San Francisco, though again, I'm still not happy. I thought that was 11.5, but I'm going to stick with them at +11. Give me that Raiders blowout -10.5 in Cincinnati, and then I'm going to take my Chiefs -3.5 against the Chargers in Mexico.
I got five as well, and like Gary, two sides, three totals. I'm going over 51 Texans Ravens. I can't believe this is about to happen. I think it's the first time all year, but we're going to best bet the on-fire Miami Dolphins +6 at home against the Bills, and we'll go head-to-head with Gary there.
Love it.
Fitzmagic in the house. Over 50.5 Saints-Bucks. Vikings laying the 10.5 at home against the Broncos, and we wrap it up with the over Monday night, 52.5 Chiefs and Chargers. That wraps up the podcast for week 11, the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We wish you all big winners on Sunday and Monday, and hopefully we're with you there. And we'll see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.